with your worldwide news update. Hundreds of mourners paid their final respects to Jimmy Carter at Washington National Cathedral on Thursday. The one-term U.S. president was widely admired for his humanitarian work after leaving the White House. Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner reports.
Fellow Democratic President Joe Biden eulogized the 39th president.
Through it all, he showed us how character and faith start with ourselves and then flows to others.
All five living, current, and former U.S. presidents were in attendance. Before the ceremony began, Republican President-elect Donald Trump entered the cathedral with his wife, Melania. He shook hands with his former Vice President, Mike Pence, before sitting next to former President Barack Obama, with whom he chatted as introductory music played. To Obama's right were Laura and George W. Bush, and Hillary and Bill Clinton. Tens of thousands of Americans over the past 2 days filed through the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol to pay their respects to Carter, who was president from 1977 to 1981.
Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner. The worst wildfires in Los Angeles history are still burning. Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener reports.
On Thursday, flames continued to tear through the Pacific Palisades neighborhood, home to many celebrities. The massive wildfire there, together with the Eaton Fire to the east, has destroyed hundreds of homes. Several people have been killed, and the death toll is expected to rise. Nearly 180,000 people have been ordered to evacuate. Firefighters managed to make gains overnight in battling the Sunset Fire, which had forced mandatory evacuations in Hollywood and the Hollywood Hills.
Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener. This is VOA News. The outgoing U.S. Defense Secretary on Thursday urged Ukraine's allies to push ahead with vital security assistance for Kyiv as he wrapped up the 25th meeting of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selden reports.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky led with supporters meeting in Germany.
We've come such a long way that it would honestly be crazy to drop the ball now.
The U.S.-led Ukraine Defense Contact Group has so far given Kyiv more than $126 billion in weapons, training, and equipment, including a just-unveiled $500 million package from the United States. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says it's one of the great military success stories of our time.
This coalition has become the arsenal of Ukrainian democracy.
And he voiced hope the work of the coalition will continue, even after U.S. President-elect Donald Trump takes office later this month. Jeff Selden, VOA News, Washington.
The Biden administration has doubled down on its unusual court battle to derail a plea deal that the government itself reached with accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. It urged a federal appeals panel Thursday to block Mohammed's guilty plea from going forward as scheduled Friday at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Defense lawyers described the attempts to throw out the agreement as the latest in 2 decades of fitful and negligent mishandling of the case by the U.S. military and successive administrations. The fight has put the Biden administration at odds with the U.S. military officials that it had appointed to oversee justice in al-Qaeda's attacks on September 11, 2001 that killed nearly 3,000 people. Tech billionaire Elon Musk live-streamed his chat with a leader of Germany's far-right party on Thursday. AP correspondent Haya Benjwani reports.
He used the power of his social media platform, X, to amplify the party's message ahead of its upcoming national election. More than 200,000 accounts tuned into the live stream, which raised concerns across Europe about the world's richest man trying to influence foreign politics. The Tesla chief executive, who helped re-elect Donald Trump in the United States, spoke with Alisa Weidel, a co-leader of the Alternative for Germany party and its candidate for chancellor. Musk said he was strongly recommending that Germans vote for Weidel's party in next month's election. I'm Haya Benjwani.
That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
ungrateful nation says goodbye.
Through it all, he showed us how character and faith start with ourselves and then flows to others.
Wildfires continue their push through Los Angeles.
179,000 people under evacuation orders. We're looking currently at 4 big fires in LA County.
And TikTok at the Supreme Court.
Assuming the Supreme Court upholds the law, unless the Trump administration can find some workaround, which I'm doubtful they'll be able to, the choice is either sell TikTok or face a ban in the United States.
Today is Friday, January 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Alexis Strobe.
And I'm Steve Karish. Thursday, in Washington, America said goodbye to Jimmy Carter. During his state funeral at the Washington National Cathedral, he was remembered as a man who put honesty and kindness above partisan politics. Freddie Joyner of Reuters has more.
Hundreds of mourners paid their final respects to Jimmy Carter at Washington National Cathedral on Thursday. A one-term president who was widely admired for his humanitarian work after leaving the White House.
The man had character.
Fellow Democratic President Joe Biden eulogized the 39th president.
Through it all, he showed us how character and faith start with ourselves and then flows to others. To young people, to anyone in search of meaning and purpose, study the power of Jimmy Carter's example.
Jason Carter, one of Jimmy Carter's grandsons, remembered the man he called Pawpaw fondly.
Maybe this is unbelievable to you, but in my 49 years, I never perceived a difference between his public face and his private one. He was the same person, no matter who he was with or where he was. And for me, that's the definition of integrity.
All 5 living, current, and former U.S. presidents were in attendance. Before the ceremony began, Republican President-elect Donald Trump entered the cathedral with his wife, Melania. He shook hands with his former Vice President, Mike Pence, before sitting next to former President Barack Obama, with whom he chatted as introductory music played. To Obama's right were Laura and George W. Bush, and Hillary and Bill Clinton. Tens of thousands of Americans over the past 2 days filed through the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol to pay their respects to Carter, who was president from 1977 to 1981. Many mourners hailed him as an example of decency and humility for today's breed of highly partisan politicians.
That's Reuters' Freddie Joyner reporting.
For the first time in more than 2 years, Lebanon has a president. Lebanon's parliament on Thursday elected Army Chief Joseph Aoun to be the head of state, filling the vacant presidency with a general who enjoys U.S. approval and showing the diminished sway of the Iran-backed Hezbollah group after its devastating war with Israel. Zachary Goldman of Reuters has the story.
Lebanon's parliament elected Army Chief Joseph Aoun as the country's new president on Thursday. The move elevates a general who enjoys U.S. approval and underscores the diminished sway of the Iran-backed Hezbollah group following more than a year of devastating war with Israel. And it reflects a broader shift in the balance of power, not just within Lebanon, but across the wider Middle East, where Tehran has seen its allies dwindle, including last month's toppling of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Lebanon's presidency is reserved for a Maronite Christian in the country's sectarian power-sharing system. Deeply divided factions have meant the post has been vacant since 2022. Aoun has been commander of the U.S.-backed Lebanese army since 2017. On his watch, U.S. aid continued to flow to the army, part of a long-standing U.S. policy focusing on supporting state institutions to curb Hezbollah's influence. Aoun has a key role in shoring up a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel, which was brokered by Washington and Paris in November. Lebanon has been desperately seeking international aid following a devastating war between Israel and Hezbollah that escalated last summer and fall. That violence came on the heels of a financial collapse in 2019, which the World Bank estimates cost the country $8.5 billion. That need and the shift in power has revived Saudi influence in the country. A source close to the Saudi royal court said U.S., French, and Saudi envoys had told Lebanon's parliament speaker that international financial aid hinged on Aoun's election. Lebanon's system of government requires the new president to convene consultations with lawmakers to nominate a Sunni Muslim prime minister to form a new cabinet, a process that can often be protracted as factions barter over ministerial portfolios.
That's Reuters' Zachary Goldman reporting.
The wildfires ravaging Los Angeles that we told you about in Thursday's show have only gotten worse. As of this writing, the Palisades Fire and the Eaton Fire, the two largest, are both uncontained. With me again is Genia DeLoop. She covers Los Angeles for VOA.
We have fires now going for 2 days. Fires are going on and growing. There's no inside any containment and end to the situations. 179,000 people under evacuation orders. We're looking currently at 4 big fires in LA County. One is where everything started, the Pacific Palisades, the area that was a home to a lot of celebrities, and it is now grew to 70 square kilometers, and it's still burning. Evacuations are expanding towards the Malibu, Calabasas, Topanga, Los Angeles County, and more than 1,000 buildings have been destroyed.
So you mentioned the Pacific Palisades fire. It's the largest. It was the first. What progress is being made to contain that?
Authorities say zero containment at this point. At this point, they're trying just to stop it from spreading, which is not apparently not very successful. Luckily, there is no any human, as far as we know, no human victims from the fire, but buildings are still burning. And, you know, the question is how to just stop it from growing.
And farther to the east, the Eaton Fire north of Pasadena. Sadly, it's a different story there in terms of casualties. Can you tell us what's been happening on that side of town?
Yes, I understand this is the second biggest fire that we're having. It's called Eaton Fire near Pasadena, Altadena, and now actually evacuation orders have been extended to Sierra Madre. It's 43 square kilometers are burning. Two fatalities, unfortunately, being recorded. We were hearing about 5 fatalities earlier and yesterday, but now they're talking about maybe specifically fatalities from people who stayed behind and refused evacuation orders. So those people have been unfortunately died.
How have the people of Los Angeles been reacting to what the authorities are saying? Do they trust the city government? Do they trust the state government?
You know, there was a lot of videos online. You know, people are filming and news reporting when you literally see firemen near the burning house running up to the fire hydrant and there is no water. So people are saying, why there is no water? You know, in the fire hydrants, and also not only water, there have been reported cases with no pressure. So if there's water, but there's no pressure to pass that water on the building through the hoses. So, and people have been blaming and asking questions, what's happening? And, you know, there is a reasonable explanation for that, because authorities and Gavin Newsom mentioned that those fire hydrants, they're not supposed to be servicing this large scale of fires, maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 house fires. They're not a program to do that. Yes, President-elect Donald Trump has been making that point that the water in the state of California is not managed properly. So we'll know later, I guess, down the line. But people are asking questions.
So that's the big picture. Genia, what do you see? What do you smell? What does it feel like where you are?
So I am currently now in Pasadena area, south of the fires. And yeah, there is a strong smell. Wherever you go, you can smell that smell of the fire. The air quality is very bad. I'm sitting in the car right now, and I feel little ashes dropping on my windshield. So the air quality is pretty bad.
Genia DeLoop, she covers Los Angeles for the Voice of America. Genia, thanks for your reporting today. Stay safe.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
And here are some more stories we're following from around the world.
The Biden administration's rules expanding protections for LGBTQ plus students have been struck down nationwide after a federal judge in Kentucky found that they overstepped the president's authority. In a decision issued Thursday, the judge scrapped the entire 1,500-page regulation after deciding it was fatally tainted by legal shortcomings. President-elect Donald Trump previously promised to end the rules and made anti-transgender themes a centerpiece of his campaign.
President Paul Kagame of Rwanda has urged Congolese authorities to negotiate with a violent rebel group that has seized key towns in eastern Congo in recent days, widening its control over the border region. M23 is the most prominent of the more than 100 armed groups vying for a foothold in the mineral-rich area near the Congolese border with Rwanda. More than 1 million people were displaced by fighting there last year. Congo accuses Rwanda of backing M23 and has repeatedly rejected Kagame's advice to negotiate with the rebels. In July, Congo signed a ceasefire with M23, but fighting has resumed.
Venezuela opposition leader Maria Corina Machado was briefly detained on Thursday. Aide said her motorcycle convoy was fired upon by security forces as it departed an anti-government protest in Caracas. Machado emerged from months of hiding earlier Thursday to appear in public as part of a last-ditch attempt to block President Nicolas Maduro from clinging to power. VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Alexis Strope.
And I'm Steve Karish. Turning our attention to American politics, the United States Supreme Court has fast-tracked oral arguments on a challenge by Chinese company ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, to a new law that would ban the social media platform in the U.S. on grounds of national security. VOA's Steve Herman reports.
TikTok, the most popular social media platform in the United States, has become a part of American culture. But its Chinese ownership and Beijing's potential access to all that personal data and the ability to shape public opinion for its American users prompted Congress to ban it.
The bill is passed, and without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
That happened despite TikTok's chief executive officer, Shouzi Chu, appealing to his platform's American users to fight against the legislation.
Protect your constitutional rights. Make your voices heard.
Barring a reprieve by the U.S. Supreme Court, ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, is to lose access to its largest market on January 19th, notes University of Minnesota Associate Law Professor Alan Rosenstein.
Assuming the Supreme Court upholds the law, unless the Trump administration can find some workaround, which I'm doubtful they'll be able to, the choice is either sell TikTok or face a ban in the United States.
Both President Joe Biden and President-elect Donald Trump had backed the ban, but Trump expressed a recent change of heart after his campaign videos during last year's election performed well on TikTok.
They brought me a chart, and it was a record, and it was so beautiful to see. And as I looked at it, I said, maybe we got to keep this sucker around a little while.
The U.S. Supreme Court will listen to the social media company's appeal on Friday. The justices will weigh the national security argument against the constitutional guarantees of free speech for ByteDance's American subsidiary and its estimated 170 million users in the United States, explains Professor Rosenstein.
That's one dimension of the conflict, but in another sense, it's also a fight within free speech itself, because one thing the government is arguing is that one of the dangers of having Chinese ownership of TikTok is that the Chinese government would be able to manipulate the algorithm and therefore distort the speech environment itself.
So Canadian investor Kevin O'Leary says he has informed President-elect Trump that he's nearing a deal to buy the U.S. assets of TikTok that would save it from being banned.
I wanted to let him know, as well as others in his cabinet, that we're doing this, and we're going to need their help.
Trump has asked the Supreme Court to put the case on hold so he can negotiate a sale of the platform following his second inauguration on January 20th, the day after the ban is set to go into effect. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
In other political news, the U.S. Supreme Court declines to halt Donald Trump's sentencing in the New York hush money case. Trump was found guilty last May of 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up a $130,000 payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels in exchange for her silence before the 2016 U.S. election about a sexual encounter she says that she had with Trump a decade earlier, which he has denied. Prosecutors have said the payments were designed to help Trump's chances in the 2016 election when he defeated Democrat Hillary Clinton. His sentencing in that case is scheduled for Friday morning in New York. Trump had sought relief from the justices as he pursued an appeal to resolve questions of presidential immunity following a Supreme Court ruling last July that granted former presidents broad immunity from criminal prosecution for their official acts. Ultimately, the Supreme Court decided 5-4 that the sentencing should go forward. The judge presiding over the case in New York said that he was not inclined to sentence Trump to any time in prison. In yet another defeat for Trump, a federal appeals court has cleared the way for the public release of special counsel Jack Smith's report on the 2020 election interference case against Trump over the objections of the president-elect. The Justice Department said that it plans to release the volume detailing Smith's findings on Trump's efforts to undo his 2020 election loss, but it will keep under wraps for now the section on Trump's classified documents case while legal proceedings against his co-defendants are ongoing.
Taking a look now at Russia's war against Ukraine, outgoing U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin urged Ukraine's allies to push ahead with vital security assistance for Kyiv as he wrapped up the 25th meeting of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selden reports on the uncertainty facing the coalition with a change in U.S. leadership on the horizon.
As homes burn through buildings bombed by Russian forces in Kherson, Ukraine, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky led with supporters meeting in Germany.
We've come such a long way that it would honestly be crazy to drop the ball now.
The U.S.-led Ukraine Defense Contact Group has so far given Kyiv more than $126 billion in weapons, training, and equipment, including a just-unveiled $500 million package from the United States. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says it's one of the great military success stories of our time.
This coalition has become the arsenal of Ukrainian democracy.
And he voiced hope the work of the coalition will continue even after U.S. President-elect Donald Trump takes office later this month.
It must not falter. And it must not fail. Ukraine's survival is on the line. But so is all of our security.
Some U.S. allies think they have reason to worry, especially after President-elect Donald Trump earlier this week refused to rule out the use of force to take the Panama Canal and Greenland to boost U.S. security.
You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two.
German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius says such comments are, quote, diplomatically astonishing, though he remains hopeful.
I'm quite optimistic that remarks like that won't really, and I hope so, won't really influence U.S. politics after the 20th of January.
U.S. defense officials say they're unaware of any current plans to use military force against allies. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says ultimately what happens to the Ukraine Defense Contact Group and some $3.8 billion in unspent U.S. aid for Ukraine will be up to the president-elect and his incoming administration. But he says it would be a mistake to downplay the actions and ambitions of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Every autocrat on earth is watching to see whether Putin gets away with it.
Austin's bottom line:
no responsible leader would let Putin have his way.
He encouraged Ukraine's backers to continue their support, to give Kyiv an upper hand for the negotiations that will ultimately bring an end to the war. Jeff Selden, VOA News, Washington.
Security forces in Chad have foiled an attack on the presidential compound overnight. Reuters' Lucy Fielder has more.
Chad's capital, N'Djamena, returned to calm on Thursday, a day after security forces said they foiled an attack on the presidential compound. According to authorities, the 24 assailants were a disorganized band who seemed to be intoxicated. They drove up to the presidential compound wielding knives and machetes, they said. The group then feigned a breakdown and attacked security guards at the gate. During the conflict, two guards were killed and five others were wounded. The public prosecutor said the security forces killed 18 of the assailants and injured six. Details of the incident remained unclear, but investigations are underway. The situation was, quote, completely under control, government spokesperson Abdurrahman Koulamallah said. The attack came at a delicate time for Chad, which recently scrapped a defense cooperation pact with France. That will end direct French military operations against Islamist militants in the Sahel region.
Lucy Fielder of Reuters reporting.
The small island nation of Seychelles off the east coast of Africa has become the unlikely setting of a great power rivalry. China has been making diplomatic inroads for years, while the U.S. has only recently focused on the strategic Indian Ocean islands. Kate Bartlett traveled to the island of Mahé for more on what China and the U.S. are doing to win the hearts of the residents there.
The islands of Seychelles are not only picture-perfect for honeymooners, they've also long attracted global superpowers.
We do notice that there are various powers, various countries wanting to, as you say, woo us. Seychelles has made the decision that there will be, that will never be a military base on its territory, a foreign military base.
The archipelago's strategic position in the Indian Ocean, east of Africa, and south of the Gulf states has been of interest to countries such as the US, India, and China from the past to the present day. In 1963, during the Cold War, the US built a tracking station on the main island of Mahé to monitor Russian satellites. 73-year-old island resident Paul Chow remembers the Americans when they were stationed on the island.
I was the head of the basketball, local island basketball team, and we used to play against the technicians at the tracking station.
Then, in the 90s, several years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the U.S. closed its embassy here and shut down the tracking station a month later. Almost three decades later, at a time when U.S.-China competition is heating up, Washington, once again, has set its eyes on Seychelles.
The reopening of the embassy underscores the importance that the United States places on the partnership that we have with Seychelles.
The Chinese embassy in Mahé declined a request for an interview. But in the years of Washington's absence, China has been making diplomatic gains in Seychelles. It sent doctors and built hospitals, affordable housing, the parliament, and the courts, all for free. China also gifted the state television company a new building.
The difference is that China's support to Seychelles is tangible. You can see them. You don't see the support that the U.S. provides.
Rather than building buildings, we're building capacity. And wherever we can help to provide input and expertise, whether it is on drug trafficking or the legal system or police force, we're happy to do that. And that's where we see really making an investment. You're planting seeds for the future. It's again, not the same thing as a building, but we believe that it's an even more important contribution to make.
But that may not be enough to capture the hearts of some residents here.
China helps the Seychelles a lot. So people generally have a very positive view of China. But whereas maybe the U.S., they left back in the 90s, so we don't really get in touch with Americans that much.
While some residents fear their country is being used as a pawn in the geopolitical power play, President Wavelram Kalawan's position is clear.
Seychelles is not part of this. We will receive Chinese warships in port, Indian warships, European warships, U.S. warships, because we are friends with everyone.
With two-thirds of the world's oil shipments passing through, the Indian Ocean is a key waterway, which keeps Seychelles on the map for geopolitical rivals such as China and the U.S. as they compete for influence here. Kate Bartlett, VOA News, Mahé, Seychelles.
And that'll wrap it up for today. This has been International Edition on the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you for joining us.
For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Alexis Strobe.
And I'm Steve Karish. Thanks for listening.